Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Straight up 9 o'clock on the Mike Calta Show. It's 1025 The Bone, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. This next guest, I'm a big fan of, Galvin.
Me too.
David Blaine is, some have called him the devil. David Blaine, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Good morning.
You are a little, you gotta admit, you are a little... But like if I don't believe so much in God or the devil, but then I see some of the stuff you do, and I go, David Blaine's a devil. You freak me out.
Oh, I'll take that as a maybe. Thank you.
I mean, definitely a compliment. I'm a fan of magic. I'm a fan of yours, of Penn and Teller's. I like to watch magic live. I like most people to try and figure out how they're doing the trick, and
then you have to come to the show.
Oh, I'm coming to the show. There's very few things that I'll do on a weeknight because I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I'm coming to the show. David Blaine's going to be at the Mahaffey Theater on June 6th. Now, I want to ask you, when you were a kid, when did you know you wanted to do this? Like, how much of you, what got you started?
I mean, I just always loved magic, but I think lots of kids love magic. But, you know, as a kid, you start finding all these guys like Harry Houdini, and there was a guy that I researched named Mac Norton, who was apparently able to convert his stomach into an aquarium where creatures could live. And then I found another guy named Haji Ali, who was a human fire dragon that could drink a gallon of water, then drink kerosene, which would float on the water, and then push the kerosene onto a fire, igniting a huge flame, and then he would extinguish it with a gallon of water in his stomach. So all these people that I kind of looked at as my almost like, you know, superhero, mystical, magical figures, being that I grew up, you know, single mother, no father. These are the guys I kind of studied. But over the years, I started to realize that the things that they were doing were not special skills. They were just practicing really hard and kind of taking a risk and learning things, rewiring the way the body works. And then, you know, I've finally been able to put them all together back-to-back in one evening, which is the show that you're going to come see.
By the way, my next question I was going to ask you was advice for kids, because my kid was the same thing. I must have bought him three different magic starter sets. When I was a kid, I had the Harry Blackstone, call the 800 number, get the set. But the key is practicing and doing it over and over again, because that's the only way you get really good at it.
The key is practicing and stick to the card tricks.
It was really cool because I watched one of David Blaine's specials, and you actually kind of showed how you were learning to do that, to spit the kerosene in the water and hold that much liquid in your body. Was crazy.
Yeah, it was really crazy. I tried to do it on my own and wasn't able to because the guy that was doing that trick actually died doing it. He got pulmonary pneumonitis, so he took his secrets to the grave. So I was working on it just by watching videos at the Museum of Broadcasting when I was a kid. And eventually I realized that there must be, the secret is he's really doing it.
Yeah.
But that is the secret. So then I found a guy in Africa that had a video surface on YouTube. So I spent a couple of years tracking him down, and then I figured out from him how to actually do it. And once I was able to do that, then I started doing, you know, put kerosene inside and all these crazy things. Which, by the way, you know, the show is, even though it's a magic show, it is scary, and there are parts that are disturbing. It seems like kids don't get freaked out, but their parents do more often.
What do you mean disturbing?
I mean, there's a lot of scary things on the show. You'll see it tonight, actually, because I'm doing a little piece on the Jimmy Fallon show from what's live on the tour.
Yeah.
You'll get the idea. Pretty hardcore show.
When you
and
do...
It is a, what, it is a one-time-only experience, meaning I probably won't be able to recreate this show again physically. It's too difficult, because normally when I do these stunts, I would do one stunt on its own. This is all of them combined into one evening, which makes it really, really tough.
That's great. When you were talking to David Blaine, when you do these things and you're practicing, what's the worst you've ever been injured, like swallowing kerosene or trying to pull stuff out of your face or whatever you do? Like, what's the worst you've ever been hurt?
I mean, the worst was when I did the 44 days in London with no food, because I went to mild organ failure and stuff like that. But, it was recoverable. We don't just jump into them. We kind of build a system slowly. So, but once again, Harry Houdini was doing all these things, and he was really confident. One night he collapsed after he got out of the water tank on stage, was rushed to a hospital where he died. So there is a risk. And you do, even though you think that you're rehearsed and you know how to do it, you just still don't know what can happen.
Yeah, like I tell you, I'm a fan of yours. I like you. You seem like a really nice guy. But in a way, I'm kind of waiting for you to fail. That's the whole thing behind going to see the magician. We know that they're not fake. We know that they're tricks. But the idea that something bad could happen is what makes it so interesting.
I mean, that's what I liked about Evel Knievel, was he was always doing things, or even Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson, all these guys, there's always that risk. You don't know what's going to happen. I always try to make the magic show feel kind of like that. So it isn't an illusion show, and it's not like I'm going through motions or I have a set routine. It is pushing the body as hard as possible night after night and not knowing what the outcome will be, but just trying my hardest.
You think that, like, YouTube is a pain in the ass for your illusion tricks, because I'm constantly trying to find out how you do stuff, and I'll go to YouTube, and all these amateurs are trying to show you how you do your tricks, and you're like, why, are you one of those guys that care, or are you like Penn and Teller, where you're like, I don't care if you figure it out?
No, I think that's when that started happening at first, I started realizing, I just need to come up with things where the method is actually more interesting than what they're seeing.
Hmm. Do you dislike any other...
Part of the question...
Again, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not really a disliker. But the other question you asked is about your kid who's into magic practicing. Yeah, I think that goes for anything. It's just, it's practicing, it's training, and it's failing constantly, and then just... You don't stop on a failure. You just look at that as another chance to get better and better.
Sure.
But the idea of this show is, I never want it to be good. I just always want it to be better.
We're talking to David Blaine. I have to tell you, I watched a TV special one time where you walked into a bar and you took, I'm going to like paraphrase the whole thing. You took a deck of cards, threw them up in the air, and the guy had already picked the card, and you threw a dart, and the dart nailed that car against the wall. Am I getting that right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know. So we sat there for like 3 days straight and just kept throwing cards and darts.
I'm telling you, I watched that thing in the slowest of motions that I could, by half a inch, by half an inch, and I don't know what happens, but it is the most, when you can't figure out how they're doing something, it's the most amazing thing. You say you are a lover, you're a nice guy, you're very mellow, but there's got to be some magicians that you think, these guys are ruining it, this is terrible. Like, you get along with Chris Angel?
I don't pay much attention to all that stuff, but sometimes I'll see clips, and I've seen him do something once that I thought was interesting. He was like hung by hooks or something like that. But after that, I haven't really paid much attention.
I don't like anything. Like, Chris Angel came into the thing here in a building that they were going to demolish in Clearwater, and we were really excited for that. And it was just clearly a camera thing. Like, you could tell when they went to the fake camera when they had previously shot footage. And I think that hurts what you guys do. It takes away from the people who are actually doing that upfront, up close magic.
I mean, when I do stuff, I try to keep it pure and honest, and I try to get real reactions. And I really care about that the viewer should see what the person is seeing at home. I learned that in 1997 when I did the illusion with the levitation on television.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, YouTube started, revealing all the methods. And I suddenly realized at that point that I never want to do anything where it's not exactly as what the viewer's seeing. So I've kind of stuck to that. But I think most guys are just, they're trying to make such quick turnarounds that it's really difficult. What I do takes me you know, years. So to get, like, one show on television where all of the reactions are honest and everything they're seeing is really happening, it's not like you can just shoot it in a couple of days. And I think a lot of those guys work really hard and they have quick turnarounds. And I would never be able to do what I do in that kind of a turnaround. So I don't really blame anybody. It's just a different thing.
Yeah, and it's certainly, I mean, you see David Blaine as this big wave of popularity, and then you kind of disappear for a little while, and I imagine that's when you're working on the new stuff, and now you got a big tour.
It's also working on the new, it's not just getting the footage, getting the tricks to work, it's also like, oh, how do I push an ice kick flick through my arm? How do I do stuff that's going to freak people out and then make it magical? So I take an old trick where it's called needle through arm, and then I study it, and then I meet with doctors, physiologists, and I try to figure out how could I actually do this, have no blood, make it look like an illusion, be real. So take, you know, working on that took me, you know, a decade or something.
Right. While we're talking, David, they're running video of you in here, and it's the one where you go into the Cowboys locker room. Is that the best compliment you can get after you do a trick or illusion, is for somebody to run out of the room?
Deion Sanders was my favorite, but what you didn't see was Michael Irvin. So he pulled up late. And Deion brings me outside. You got to do something to Mike. Mike's got to see this. So I go outside, and I start doing magic to Mike Irvin, and he falls out of his car onto the ground. And that was kind of like the best reaction, but we didn't have a camera, of course. So the stuff that you're seeing is when we have cameras. But if you saw what I saw through my eyes, that's the best stuff.
If you could see all the time that we spent trying to make ourselves levitate after watching that special. Hadn't practiced a foot move since Michael Jackson did the moonwalk on TV as much. This is David Blaine. He's coming to the Mojave Theater on June 6th at 8 o'clock. You can get tickets to go see him. You grew up in a single parent family. David made his father disappear at a young age, just to show. Now, where is that guy now?
He actually, I think, was working at one point at the Dolly Museum, but he overdosed on heroin and died. Never really knew. My mother didn't have
much. I'm sorry to hear that. So he was working down here? How ironic is that?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I never, you know, my mother, I guess he wasn't there, so I was raised in Brooklyn the first 8 years until she got remarried. So I didn't, we very rarely cross paths.
That's what I was going to ask you. If you're famous,
I did go to the Dolly Museum just to go see, you know, where he was working. Not even that long ago, I think like 10 years ago. And I remember spending the whole day in that museum, just going, "Wow,
yeah,
how could one person do this? It's the craziest thing I've ever seen." Like, you look at all the work and all those walls, you just don't know how he had that kind of time.
No, and the first time I went there, I went on a college class trip, and there was a lady just standing there looking up at the painting, and she passed out. That's how intense it is. Dolly Museum.
Yeah, I get that, by the way.
Yeah. The Dolly Museum, a stone's throw from the Mojave Theater, where you're going to be playing when you're down here. And I'm really looking forward to this. The last thing I remember you doing on TV that I saw was something, I don't remember the whole thing, but at the end you kind of flew away on a balloon. Do you recall what that was?
You mean the dive of death? Yeah, that was like literally the dive of death. And it was funny because everything all happened at once. So the stunt had to be changed, and then all of a sudden there was like winds, and the winds were pushing the balloons down, so I couldn't do that. You know, I did float over Central Park on the balloons, but you couldn't really see that.
Well, you did take off on it. I remember that. That's what I was going to ask you. When something goes wrong,
it went completely wrong, but I had a fun trip. So.
Yeah, and you still kind of.
I was riding on balloons over New York City, so it was amazing. But from the TV point of view, when I saw it, I was like, "Oh my god, that's embarrassing."
That's what I was going to say. Were you worrying when something goes wrong on a live thing, it's going to screw everything up for you? Because you were just like, you shrugged it off. You could tell something was wrong, but you were like, "Oh well, see ya."
Yeah, I mean, I kind of learned a serious lesson, though, which is you can't, you know, ABC suddenly standards of practices was like, no, you can't jump with the noose around your neck. So we had to change the whole stunt. What I realized is you can never go into something without rehearsing it and practicing and trying. Because that one, I figured, okay, well, if we just change it, it'll still work. But once we changed it, we weren't prepped in any way. So it was, you know, completely opposite effect. So anything that I do now, I always make sure that we tried it, rehearsed it, and tested it in different conditions. that's something you can't really anticipate is, you know, oh, we're going to have wind currents that are pushing downwards.
Right.
They're going to go straight down into the city, so we don't have clearance to do it.
The guy has been buried alive, frozen. He's hadn't eaten for 40 days. He's drowned. He's pretty much the devil. David Blaine will be here on June 6th at the Mojave Theater. Get your tickets now. I'm very much looking forward to the show, and I appreciate you getting up early and being on the program today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I look forward to meeting you guys.
See you out there, pal.
Oh, one more
yes.
note, by the way. Before the show, I also wander around the lobby and in the balcony and stuff like that, doing magic to everybody. Because since I can't eat during the show because I'm doing all those things, I found that like getting the energy from the audience is pretty fun. So if you show up, people show up a little bit early, you know, they can get to see some of the close-up magic that they're used to seeing from them.
That's pretty special.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's very cool.
Well, great, man. We'll see you out there.
All right, thanks, man.
The great David Blaine.
Very cool.
I like him.
Awesome. Yeah.
I thought he was going to be sleepy, too.
Right.
He wasn't. He was good.
How cool would that be to be out there and then have David Blaine just walk up and start doing magic right in front of you? I mean, it's cool to see him on stage, but to see him right in front of you doing that stuff.
I'd run away as soon as I saw him. I'd be like, don't you try anything, Mr. Blaine.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't want that devil near me. I don't want that devil near me.
All of a sudden, you got cards coming out of your shoes.
Yeah.
You don't know how to explain anything.
By the way, that's a freaking hilarious thing that he said. I said, how do they do that where they throw the dart and get the card? And he just got it for 3 days. That's hilarious. David Blaine, go see him at the Mojave Theater. Don't forget to get my girl Viv tickets.
I'm on it.
So David Blaine can make her penises appear.
Right.
She's working on that. We got to take a break. It's the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone.
The Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.